I was looking that up. As far as culture goes, it says cultures are groups of people who share a common set of values and beliefs. They may also share cultural elements like languages, festivals, rituals and ceremonies, pastimes, food. All your church events include food, so we have a culture here. Food, architecture, religion, dress, a system of beliefs passed down from generation to generation. And immersion, it says, to plunge into something that surrounds or covers, absorbs, extensive exposure to surroundings or conditions that are native to the object of study. So we're immersing ourselves. We're talking about cultural immersion. We're immersing ourselves in a set of values, a set of beliefs. It may be languages, it may be dress, it may be religion, all those different things. We're covering ourselves with them. We're diving into them. We're being absorbed. We're being baptized into another culture. And so as you see here this morning, I do have a few things around me. I am absorbed. I've been baptized into the culture of disc golf. This is not all of my stuff here. But what you see here is about $2,100 worth of discs and baskets and carts. And that big long pole right there, that's for when I throw it into the lake. And that stretches out to actually around 22 feet. And I can pull my disc up out of the water. So anyway, and I have done that before. But you know, when I'm talking about disc golf, when I'm talking about being absorbed into the culture of disc golf, it does have a language all of its own. There are certain things that we say, certain things that we do that people outside of disc golf don't know anything about. But once I got into the culture of disc golf, I started learning some of the language. It took me a while to realize what the language meant. Just like any other language, it takes a minute to learn what they're saying. And so when I'm sitting here and I'm talking about disc golf, I might be talking about a 9-speed disc with a 4-glide, with a negative turn, and with a 3-fade. Everybody knows what that means, right? And if I start talking about a hyzer, an anhyzer, a hyzer flip, everybody knows what all that there means, right? No, you don't, because that's a language that once I got into the culture, once I got into the lifestyle of disc golf, I started learning the language. And it's like any other culture. Once you absorb yourself into it, you start learning the language. I might say an Anheuser backhand that turned over and didn't fight its way back. What does that mean? That's foreign language to a lot of different people. But it's something that me being absorbed into this culture, I know what that means. Every one of these discs has a number on it. If I were to grab this one here, it says that it's 11 speed with a 5-glide with a -1 turn and a -2 fade. What does that disc do? Well, this here is a distance driver. I make it fly out like this. It'll go like this a little bit, and then it'll come back and always fade back to the left. That's what those numbers mean. Each disc has a certain number. It has a certain purpose with which we use it. So I watch disc golf. I try to instruct disc golf. I drive hours to play disc golf. I have an app that finds courses, that keeps my stats, that tells me where I stand once I play a certain course, where I rank with other people who have played on that course. I go to tournaments. I search for discs online. Don't tell Carrie. Oops, she heard that. But you know what? If I lose a disc, I have my name and number on the inside of every one of these discs. If I were to lose one, the person who finds it will do everything in their power to make sure that I get that disc back to me. They'll either call the number or they'll say, we'll meet you someplace, or we'll call the number and say, I'll drop it off at the basket case. That was the name of one of the disc golf stores out there. But they'll do everything. That's the culture of disc golf. They find your disc, they want to make sure it gets back in your hands. And it's the same way with me. If I find theirs, I want to make sure it gets back in their hands. There is a community of people that are all in with this disc golf thing. And when I was out in Oklahoma, we have what we call constitutional carry. I don't know how you guys feel about weapons or anything, but constitutional carry. I'm watching guys play disc golf out there with a weapon strapped to their hip. I'm thinking, okay. But there is a culture in that. When I'm here on my lunch break, I take my disc and I go throw discs out into this field out here. I'll go back there in the FAC, and I got my basket there. I'll go back there and practice putting. I have friends that who are just like me. I'm immersed into the culture of disc golf. I've been absorbed into the culture of disc golf. I believe in what I'm doing here. There's value I place on this. I've immersed myself into that culture. Is everything good about that culture? No. Is everything good about every culture? No. Is everything good about a church culture? No. Why isn't it good? Because a lot of guys, man tries to get his hands in there and fiddle around with some things too. But not everything in a culture is good. But for me, the good far outweighs the bad. That's like coming to a church. Some people will come in here and they're all excited about what's going on and they're jumping in, they're volunteering, but all of a sudden, somebody does something that maybe irritates them a little bit. Well, you know what? Not everybody's perfect. Not everything goes right. When you absorb yourself into a culture, you try to help maneuver and help fix those things. Try to fix the things that aren't so right. But there's opportunity, and for me being involved in this disc golf, I've reached people with the gospel that I never would have reached before. Being able to speak the language. When missionaries go to a foreign country, they don't want to necessarily learn the language and go out and evangelize that country. Their goal is to learn the language, train the people of that country to go out and evangelize that country. But they have to go there and immerse themselves into that culture. You can't go there with an Americanized way of thinking and think that you're going to evangelize a country. You need to become a link in the chain of that country and of that culture and leave your Americanized link back in America for when you're back there visiting. But you have to immerse yourself into the culture. Now, there is a worldly culture, and many have bought into and sold out to that. There was a life that some of us may have lived prior to being born again that we were sold out to. And it was a lifestyle, it was a destructive lifestyle. It wasn't leading you anywhere good. Now me, I grew up in the church. When the doors were open, we were here. That's why here at Life Point, we have Tuesday morning prayer, we have Wednesday night service, and we have Sunday morning service. We want these doors to be open and available. I'm here Monday through Friday. And I'm usually here from 8 o'clock to about 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Now, I've got various meetings, places I go, people I talk to, things like that. But I'm here and I'm available to anybody who would want to come here and talk to me. Why? Because I've immersed myself into this culture here. I've immersed myself into this calling here at Life Point Church. Being available. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And in case you hadn't noticed, the title of my sermon is Cultural Immersion. But in Colossians chapter 3, we had talked about not every culture is good. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at the right hand of God." Let's look at that again. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? If any man be in Christ, since you have been raised to Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And what? Old things have passed away, and what else? All things have become new. So the you who you used to be when you were immersed into the culture of this world, when you become born again, that person is dead. That person no longer exists. That person, people won't recognize you because that person no longer exists. When you become born again, you've been immersed now into a new culture. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So we could basically say you've got a chalkboard. Who used to think it was the most fun thing in the world when you got called by the teacher to do the erasing of the chalkboard or go bang the erasers after class? You got white dust flying all over and everything like that. Those were some of the greatest things. But to get up there and be the one that got to erase the chalkboard. And then when the chalkboard was erased, what? There's nothing there. It's a blank slate. Everything is new. We're starting all over again. It's a new day. So when you became born again, immersed yourself into the culture of God, into the kingdom of God, it's as if the things that you were a part of, that worldly culture you were a part of before, it's gone. It's done. You might think, well, I've done so many bad things in my life. I had somebody ask me one time, is there something so bad that God wouldn't forgive? I'm like, no, there's nothing so bad that God won't forgive. And we got a chance to talk about that a little bit. But the old you is gone. You're now, you're being immersed. You're diving in. You're being absorbed in a new culture. You're being baptized into a new culture. In Philippians 3:20, in the Amplified version, it says, but we, here's this new culture, but we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven, and from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. That's the culture you're in now. When you accept Jesus as Savior, that's where we're at now. Our whole way of thinking has changed. Our whole way of thinking, where everything was about the culture I'm in, everything was about pleasure, everything was about me, everything was about I, what can I get, who can I step on to get it, that culture is no longer available to us. We don't want that culture anymore. Now our culture says we earnestly and patiently await. Man, earnestly and patiently await, it's funny how those... earnestly, it's like, yeah, let's do it. But at the same time, you're like, okay, there's some things that need to be done first. Colossians, we'll go back to Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 2. It says, think about or meditate the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Immerse yourself in this culture. Think about the things of heaven. For you died to this life. When you're born again, man, you died to that life. That old way of thinking, that old culture, the old you that you were immersed in, that, like I said, that's dead. Don't keep bringing up the things that you used to do. That God hasn't necessarily forgiven me. He's forgiven you. He's forgotten it. He's wiped it clean. When we do, even as a believer, when we do, even as we do mess up, he's made a way. 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins. He's faithful and he's just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Everything you've done wrong, he's faithful to forgive you of those things. So there's nothing that you can do that would God would turn his back on you. It says, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Now, verse 5. So put to death the sinful nature. This here is the nature that we, this was the culture that we were immersed in prior to being born again. Put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Oops. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Boy, I just like that guy's car. Man, if I just had that car. What can I do to get that car? That car is just your focus is on these worldly things. And he's saying, don't do that. Focus on the things of heaven. Focus on the things in the kingdom of God. Verse 6, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things. Now, I may not have done all them things, but you used to do some of those things. And probably some of the things that aren't listed here. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. When your life was a part of the culture of this world, you used to do those things. But now that your life is a part of the culture of the kingdom of God, you don't want to do those things anymore. Walk away from those things. Verse 8, but now is the time to get rid of, Boy, we talked about sexual immorality, we talked about lust, we talked about all these different things. Now we got a different list here. You didn't do all those things, but let's look at this list here. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, talking about people, and dirty language. Oops. All these things are of the worldly culture. Verse 9, don't lie to each other. Man, he's talking about anger. He's talking about lying now. You might not have had the sexual immorality, but anybody ever had the lying and the anger? Don't put your hand up too high. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old nature and all its wicked deeds. Proverbs 12:22, it says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Whew. Verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. As you spend more time immersed in the culture, the more you learn and take on the beliefs and the values and the traits of the kingdom of God. How much time are we spending with regards to the things of God? The things with regards to the kingdom of God. If we are, people will start seeing those values, those beliefs, those traits, that culture that you're professing to be a part of. They'll start seeing those things happening in your life. This is not a beat-up service. This is a stop and meditate, stop and think type of service where with too many times we get caught up in the daily life that we live. We go to work, we certain people we hang out with, and we do all those things. We give 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day to those things. How much of that 8 to 10 to 12 hours are they seeing the culture, the values, the beliefs of the kingdom of God operating in our lives? Hopefully right along with it the whole day. Verse 11, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. If he's living in us, we're new creatures. Everything has passed away. Everything is new. If he's living in us and we're spending time with him, if we're becoming intimate with him, if we're learning of the kingdom culture, spending time meditating on that, spending time wanting that to be a part of who we are, then people will start seeing that. I noticed when I was my previous job, 26 years I was there, I would have people come to me as we're standing there and we're talking about various things, and they'll tell me, hey, Rick, you may want to leave right now. Because they're getting ready to tell a dirty joke or something like that. Or I had this one guy would say, hey, Rick, earmuffs, meaning put your hands over your ears because you're about ready to say something that he knows that I wouldn't appreciate. But you know what? It's because I had immersed myself in kingdom culture. People recognized that. How did they recognize that? They recognized that through my actions, through my words, the way I thought, the way I carried myself, the way I communicated with other people, the way I cared about how I communicated with other people. They recognized those things. They knew I was a believer. I didn't hide those things. They recognized those things. And even though they did what they did, they always made sure that I was separated from it. But in the end, it gave opportunity also for me to be able to speak things into their lives. Because they would come back to me from time to time asking me, hey, Rick, what do you think about? Hey, Rick, what do you think this means? But it gave me opportunity because I immersed myself in the kingdom culture and in the things of God. People saw that. People recognize that, and it allowed me to walk out and to be able to live out this kingdom culture that people were drawn to. I play disc golf. I'm so glad that I got this cart right here. Get out there on those hot days, you know, and you're out there playing disc golf, and you're tired and everything. Got myself a nice little seat here. Got a little water bottle carrier back here. You know, I got my little range finder over here. I've got this, This is my Bushnell rangefinder. So right now, from me to the booth back there, let me get Gordon. I'll focus in on Gordon. For me to Gordon, it's saying that it's about, that's off. But anyway, I wonder I'm not throwing very well right now. No, it's a good thing. I like that thing. But I've immersed myself into this right here to where I'm out on the disc golf course and I got guys coming up to me. I might have mentioned it one other time. Me and my son-in-law were playing and this guy walks up to us and wants to play along with us. Well, before we got started, he had some marijuana with him. He asked us if we wanted some before we played. And I'm like, no, we're good, we're good. But I talked about, you know, how he was playing and his back was hurting. And, you know, and so finally, because I'm immersed in this kingdom culture, the Bible says that we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I asked him if I could lay hands on him and pray for him. He says, man, I'll take all the blessing I can get. It allowed me influence. He didn't know me, but he recognized the fact that I was a believer, and he recognized that prayer was something. Now, whether he had heard it from somebody else along the way, I don't know, but I laid hands on him. I prayed for him. Two holes later, he wasn't complaining about his back anymore. My son-in-law recognized, hey, you know, you prayed for him, and he's not twisting and getting his back loosened up anymore. Well, it's a culture that if I hadn't immersed myself in all this here, if I'd have just gone out there occasionally and not worked on the game, all right, no, I won't do that. But if I hadn't worked on the game and got somewhat good at it and was able to compete and was able to do the things that other guys were doing out there, I wouldn't have been able to speak into his life. But I found opportunity each time that I went out and played to be able to speak the Word of God into somebody's life. I looked for opportunity to be able to speak the Word of God into somebody's life. Whether it was a word of encouragement or whether it was actually, hey, you know what, basically getting down to the point where you want to be born again. Whatever it was, I was able to speak into that person's life because I learned the language. I learned the way they think. I learned their beliefs, their values, what they placed value on. When my daughter, she was down in Mexico, she lived down there for a year, and Saltillo was the name of the town, and she was a foreign exchange student, and I asked her the other day, I said, you know, what was the biggest culture shock, and what was the thing that you liked the most about living there? And you might guess the biggest culture shock is everybody speaking a language that you didn't understand. She had high school Spanish. Did that prepare her for living in Mexico? No. So she's in a country where people are speaking Spanish, some English, but mostly, predominantly Spanish. And the thing that she liked the most about the culture was their affection toward one another, their caring for one another. And so she went down there and she found that she could relate to this culture. And what did she do? She fully immersed herself into that culture. Obviously, they're speaking Spanish every day. If she wants to communicate, she needs to start learning Spanish. And so about 6 months in, she said she knew that she had it because she started dreaming in Spanish at that point. To where now, I mean, she's back. It's been a number of years ago. She taught high school Spanish for 10 years, something like that. So she's fluent in the language to the point that we have friends that are in Colombia, South America, and Anna will talk to them on the phone, and they can't tell that she's not from that country. She's got all the lilts and the different things that go along with the language. So she became fluent in that because she immersed herself into the culture, the activities and just different things that they did there. Now, the houses that she lived in, the people that she lived in, I had to let her know when she got back, yeah, don't expect that. Every house that she was in had at least 1 to 3 maids, and one of them was assigned to her. Squeezing her fresh orange juice every morning. Doing these different things for her. I said, don't get used to that now that you're back home. But it was a part of the families that she lived, a part of the culture that they had these different people in their house that worked and served the people of the home. And so she observed the holidays, the festivals. She became, as I said earlier, a link in that culture. She set aside her Americanized culture to a degree and became a link in the culture in which she lived there. Now, was everything good about that culture? Was everything good about any culture? No. Just because of the way she looked, there were certain precautions that she had to take. Blonde hair, blue eyes, she kind of stuck out. And so there were certain precautions with certain, they called them hill people that would come down and potentially would snatch her up and take her away, different things like that. But, you know, we believe God, but it didn't bother her. I mean, she was 100% bought into the culture there. But my mom and dad, they went down to visit her, though, and they said they didn't buy into the culture. They said, we will never go anywhere again where they don't speak English. They would sit in their hotel room all day waiting for Anna to get home so they had somebody to talk to. They're a little bit older, so they weren't venturing out too much. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says, since Christ, though innocent, suffered in his flesh for you, now you also may be a prepared soldier, having the same mindset, for whoever has died in his body is done with sin. So live the rest of your earthly life no longer concerned with human desires, but consumed with what brings pleasure to God. We have to have a culture of what it takes to please God. Well, what does the Bible say on pleasing God? It says without faith, without a culture of faith, without a lifestyle of faith, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not that you sometimes can, not to say that it's possible if you do. No, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, it takes faith to love some people. Everybody looking around the room here. But anyway, but it's all about faith. The Bible is a faith book. In verse 3 it says, for you have already spent enough time doing what unbelievers do. There was a lifestyle that you were a part of. There was a culture that we were a part of prior to becoming born again. It's time to stop that. If we're born again and we're still doing the things of the world, the Bible right here is saying it's time that we stop doing that. It's time that we figure out what it is, the culture and the kingdom of God is, and start doing those things. For you have already spent enough time doing what unbelievers love to do, living in debauchery, sensuality, partying, drunkenness, wild drinking parties, and the worship of demons. That's a worldly culture. All these things are pleasure-seeking and worship the devil's culture. The devil's culture, those things that we just read, that's the culture of the devil. Well, moving on. But Rick, I'm not even going to go there. That's another sermon. Verse 4, they marvel that you no longer rush to join them in the excesses of their corrupt lifestyles, and so they vilify you. They marvel that as you buy into the kingdom culture, that you don't do those things anymore. Anybody want to say that they're different than what they were prior to being born again? There's a couple of people. Okay, there's an honest guy back there. I can believe it too. But anyway, but we're different when we buy into the kingdom culture, when we buy into the things of God, when we buy in and say, I'm all in, this is going to be the month of all in. When I'm all in to the kingdom culture of God, then I'm through with these other things. I can't keep going back to those things. If I keep going back to, well, and you know, we're reading all this drunkenness and all these types of things. Let's take it a little bit different angle. Well, I just don't have anything to offer. I'm depressed all the time. I just don't know what to do in any given situation. I don't hear from God. Stop it. When you're born again, all those things were covered, just like the drunkenness and debauchery and wild parties and foul language. All those things were covered too. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God. You are more than a conqueror. There is no, I can't, I won't, I never. None of those things. Those things don't exist in our vocabulary. Because why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Figure out who we are in Him, and the way to do that is to buy into the kingdom culture. And to buy into the kingdom culture means to grab that book that's got all those different, from Genesis to Revelation, and read through there, especially into the New Testament, in what we call the epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those verses right there, all those books right there, tell you who you are in Christ. If you have any question as to who you are in Christ, open the Bible to those verses right there. It'll tell you. And when you find out who you are in Christ because of this culture that you bought into, it's diving deeper into that culture. When you find out who you are in Christ, man, nobody can ever tell you that you're less than. Nobody can ever tell you that you're worthless. Nobody can ever tell you that you can't or that you're just. The kingdom culture says that you can do all things through Christ. There's nothing that you can't do. But we got to remember, when we're talking kingdom culture, I can do all things through Christ, not through Rick, not through Carrie, but through Christ. These things are all these things are possible. They marvel that you no longer rush to join them in the excesses of their corrupt lifestyles, and they vilify you. You operate in a culture that they have no knowledge of. But we have, no matter what they say, no matter what anybody does to us, about us, if we continue to walk out that kingdom culture, and they continue to see us doing it on a regular basis, if they continue to see that this is real in our lives, they continue to see that we really do love God and people, the two greatest commandments. It gives them hope when they're faced with situations. I remember when Rick said, "Let me go find out more about that." It gives them hope. And you get a chance at that point to actually not walk out, but to speak kingdom culture into their lives, meaning the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. To me, Peter just finished preaching the greatest sermon ever preached. And this is a guy who denied Christ three times. He's a part of this kingdom culture back then. He's walking around with Jesus. And he's still messing up. Just because we have kingdom culture, just because we bought in, we're saying that we're all in this kingdom culture, it doesn't mean you're not going to mess up from time to time. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Trials are coming your way. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Weapons will be formed against you. But they won't prosper. Because when you've committed and you've immersed yourself in this kingdom culture, anything that comes against you, you have the answer for. Luke 10:19, he's given us authority over demons and scorpions, serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. That's who you are in Christ. When you have kingdom culture, you know that when Satan comes against you, you've got the answer for it. You have authority over him. But in Acts 2, chapter 40, it says, Peter preached to them and warned them with these words, "Be rescued from a wayward and perverse culture of this world." It's funny, in this translation, he used culture of this world, that it's wayward and that it's perverse. Wayward, defiant, disobedient, rebellious, unruly, perverse, opposed to what is right and good, self-willed, hard-headed. Should we stop on hard-headed for a while? Argumentative. Should we stop on argumentative for a while? Culture of this world, which seeks its own, how can I get ahead at the expense of others? Verse 41. Those who believe the word, because of this, what he's saying up here, he's telling them to repent. Those who believed the word that day, here was the result of it. Those who believed the word that day numbered 3,000. They were all baptized and added to the church. Peter, even though he messed up, he was still displaying kingdom culture. He was still showing that I have the beliefs, I have the values, I know the language, all these different things. I'm still operating in these things. And I'm going to tell people about it. And he told people about it. They believed it. And 3,000 people were saved that day. Verse 42. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another what they had out of generosity. They even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily they met together in the temple, the courts, and in other homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together and joyful hearts and tender humility, and they were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. Kingdom culture. That's what kingdom culture looks like. I can go back and look at this here and break it down into small bites. Every believer was faithfully devoted. Bite number one. Their hearts were mutually linked. Two. They came together regularly for prayer. Yikes, this is kingdom culture, people. Many miraculous signs and wonders. Oh, man, signs and wonders. Have signs and wonders stopped? No, signs and wonders have not stopped. But you know what? If we haven't bought into kingdom culture, we can walk in here with a need and walk out with that same need. But if we've bought into kingdom culture, if we walk in here and we've got an ailment in our body, we have an ailment in our mind, emotions, all those different things, and we say, I'm bought in, I know that I can come here, and it says they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It says he's given us peace beyond comprehension. Then I'm going to come in here and say, my needs, I want to walk out of here different than when I came in. And when they give that altar call to come up here to either be born again or be prayed for whatever other reason, I'm going to go up there because I'm bought into this. There's nothing about this culture that I want at all. I mean, I look at the Bible and it's like, man, if it says it's for me, give it to me. I want it all. You're greedy. Yes, I am greedy for the things of God. It's okay to be greedy that way. So this is what it looks like to immerse ourselves in kingdom culture. So going on here, it says all believers were in fellowship as one body. There was unity. They were helping each other. And I'm not saying we're doing this here. They weren't talking bad about each other. I mean, I'm talking about the church world in general. They shared with one another. They were generous. Verse 46, they daily met together. They celebrated communion. They shared meals together. We're breaking these verses down without all the other words mixed in. This is just giving you a list here of what kingdom culture looks like. These people here, they all bought in. They were continually filled with praises to God. I really believe that when we come together, every other word out of our mouth should be something praising God. He's taken us from darkness to light. He's taken the old man and pushed him away. You got a new guy over here. He forgives us when we mess up. Man, we got stuff to praise him for. But I'm shy. Once again, we're focusing, because I was shy. Once again, we're focusing on me instead of he. Kingdom culture needs to be our greatest desire. The things of God, the ways of God need to be our greatest desire. I've shared part of this before, but when Carrie and I were out at Rhema, talking about immersing into a culture, we did that. We wanted everything that God had for us and that was available to us when we were going to Bible college. Now, you can get everything that you get a lot out of Bible college, but until you walk out those doors of the Bible college and walk across the street and into the door of the next building over here and put it into practice, which the next building over here is the Rhema Bible Church. You can learn stuff in a classroom. You can hear stuff in a sanctuary, but until you take and you put it into practice, it's just words at that point. You haven't bought in to the kingdom culture. But when Carrie and I, we knew that Rhema, they had a culture of faith and love with Brother Hagin. We knew that. It's what it was based on. Their mission is to bring hope, help, and healing to the world. We can get on board with that. They had a mindset that we bought into, a proven track record of being strong in faith. We could buy into that. So what did it look like for us to immerse ourselves in that culture? We volunteered. That's the easiest place to start, right from the get-go. You volunteer. And if you believe in something, you'll get involved. Now, there are various degrees of involvement because people's lives, they have stuff outside of here too. I recognize that. You have full-time jobs. You may work, like for me, the last 10 years I worked at the prison, I worked 12 hours a day, every day. But it got me out of there 4 years earlier than what it would have. But I put in 12 hours a day, every day for 10 years. But then I would be tired on Wednesday night. Carrie would tell you, I'd be sitting at home, I don't want to go to church. But Rick, you're singing on the worship team tonight. You have to go. I didn't feel like it. But I got up and I went anyway, and I was glad that I did. Because God was able to speak to me in that place. If I'd have stayed at home, what would I have done? Probably turned on the TV. Wouldn't have had any mindset. This shirt here, I got this shirt. Anybody ever heard the shot heard around the world? That's what that is. James Conrad threw a disc out from like 300 feet into the basket. Anyway, that was a shot heard around the world. But anyway, but you know, if we believe in something, we'll get involved in it. Maybe varying levels of being involved, but you will get involved. Here's what my buying into this culture of Rhema looked like. In the college, I started out as a door monitor. Stood at the door. I was that guy who had to make sure people had their IDs every day. If they didn't, they had to go get a temporary or go back home and get it, potentially be late for class. But I was that guy. Then I was the head door monitor. And so I went from head door monitor to I was a student ambassador. Carrie and I were involved in a prayer group. I was an usher. I was a baptism volunteer. Filled out the certificates. Gave them everything they needed up there. I was a part of the choir. I was a frontline singer. I organized 25 student housing moves. I was the airport transportation coordinator for college weekends. I participated in extracurricular activities. I attended Rhema Bible Training College. Attended all the Rhema Bible Church services. Was a part of camp meeting, was a part of Winter Bible Seminar, and the Men's Call to Arms Conference. I immersed myself into the culture out there. I wanted to be a part of what was going on. And immersing myself into those different areas of the culture out there, I got to see a level of excellence that I'd never experienced before. I was a big fish in a little pond before I went out there. When I got out there, it was a whole different animal. No longer was I that person. There were other people out there that were super talented and had all these different things going for them. But you know what? I was still a part of kingdom culture. I still was a part of what was going on. And when Carrie and I left, she was on the choir. I was on the front line. And the person who was the choir director, and he was in charge of a lot of different things, they prayed for us before we left. And he spoke a few words about us before we left. And he told everybody else that was in the room, he said, "You'll never know how much Rick taught me." I'm thinking, what? Me taught you? But I think what he was talking about was communication. Discipline in communication. Different things. But we also got the label as being faithful. Because if we said that we were going to do something, if we were a part of something, we did what we said, and we were always there when we were supposed to be there. We bought into the culture of Rhema. Now, the culture of Rhema is the culture of the kingdom of God. And so we bought into that, and we became better because of it. We went to a different level than where we were. Coming to Life Point, when we get involved and we absorb, immerse ourselves in the culture of Life Point, we potentially can go to a level that we weren't at before. Because I've said from the very beginning, it's about relationships here. I broke one of my pastoral rules yesterday, and I'm not going to do it again. And the thing is, it was a last minute thing, and I didn't tell anybody about it, but I did it anyway. This inside this door here, there was a blue wall. I painted that blue wall. I didn't like that blue, so I painted that wall. Who came here and painted it with me? Nobody. I did it myself. It was something I was warned about before I came here, and it's something that I kept ever present in my mind, but yesterday I broke that rule. I didn't have anybody come help me. It's about relationships. Can I do it myself? I can do it myself. I can do it with my eyes closed. You may not like the results if my eyes are closed, but I can do it with my eyes closed. But I've said from the beginning, it's about relationships. And part of the culture of Life Point Church is relationships, building relationships. So whenever I go to paint another wall, I'm going to call somebody to come help me paint that wall. But we bought in and we immersed ourselves in that culture. You can't go to school at Rhema and be a part of what's going on if you're not serving in some sort of capacity. We couldn't just go there and just be there. Go there and get our Bible college education and leave. We couldn't do that. We were retired, so we could volunteer a lot more than other people could. Well, I've said, like I said a little bit ago, our involvement and our immersion and our volunteering is different for different people. We got obligations. We have kids. We have grandkids. We have jobs. We have whatever it may be. We do have obligations, but on some level, if we're bought into kingdom culture. And whether it's Life Point, whether it's other churches in town, if the people are bought into kingdom culture and they can see that where they're going is a direction that they can line up with, then you got to be bought in. You got to immerse yourself. Romans chapter 4. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. That's kingdom culture. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Everybody in here has a gift, has a talent. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, here He's going to give us a list of some things too. The ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. So what's the culture here at Life Point? And what part do we play? That's a question we have to ask. Each person will have to seek God, the Lord, for themselves with regards to that. To what degree can I be, am I buying in? You can buy in and you can immerse yourself 100% saying, this is my church, this is my family, people just don't understand, I have to be here. Now, as far as doing, you got to figure it out where it is and how much you can buy into that. Everybody has a supply. Everybody is valuable. Everyone has value. And whatever that supply is and whatever that value is, that you need to be all in. You need to buy in. If you call this church your church, or other people call those churches their church, and you can agree with the direction the church is going, man, you should be telling everybody to come here. This is where it's at. This is where it's happening. But what keeps people from being all in? What keeps people from fully immersing themselves into the culture? I just listed three things here. They're comfortable with their current lifestyle. Comfortable in their current involvement. Or they fear that they don't have something important to offer. Man, as far as I'm concerned, if there's somebody at that door back there and they got a smile on their face, that's something to offer. You don't know what people are going through when they come through these doors here. You got a handshake, encouraging somebody in some form or fashion. We don't know what people are going through when they come through those doors. So in order to grow the kingdom of God, we have to buy into the kingdom culture. What does that look like? All the verses that we just read. And I'm going to end it here with these last two verses. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, kingdom culture, be imitators of God. Oh, wow. That to me, that sums it up right there. How can you become an imitator of God? Do what the Word of God says. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Know that in this culture here, we serve a faithful God. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's a big one right there. Like I said, Wednesday nights, man, I'm tired. I don't want to go. Rick, what's the Bible say about that? Number one, of course, you do have responsibilities too. But what's the Bible say about that? It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Why don't you want to do that? It says, and then it says, as is the manner of some. But why don't you want to do that? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back. We need to be exhorting people. We need to be encouraging people. We need to come here and be encouraged by one another. Every person in this room has value. Every person in this room has something to offer. So when we come together, this kingdom culture says, we come together and we're here to encourage one another. Because the day's coming, people. The day's coming. Jesus is coming back. And he wants us to, not only as a body, come together and huddle together and help one another and serve one another. But man, he wants us to come together and get a game plan on how we can go out and reach other people. As a body, as a unified body, one person, we can go out and reach people, and we do. That's probably one of the most effective ways. But when we as an army here at LifePoint Church leave this place with the whole mindset of kingdom culture and it's winning as many people as we can to the kingdom of God, boom, this place blows up. This town blows up. So I'm asking you to commit to the culture of LifePoint Church. And strive to be imitators of God. That's my desire, is to be an imitator of God, to do the things he's called me to do, to walk out the things he's called me to walk out, encourage when he tells me to encourage. I'm always looking for a way to encourage somebody, to pat them on the back. But bringing my gifts. I have gifts to offer. He's placed within me. Like I said, whether it's a smile, whether it's a joke. We got some jokesters here. Whether you're an encourager. These are all practical things with regards to kingdom culture. So I'm asking the people of Life Point just to end it with these two words. All in. Father, I just thank you for this service here this morning, and I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you, Father, that they are your children, that they have embraced you as your as their Savior. Father, I praise you and thank you that your life flows through their veins. Your Spirit is within them. Father, I pray right now that your Spirit reveals himself even more within them, within us. Showing us a more vivid picture of what the culture of your kingdom looks like. Father, we know that your word does say, we'll go and we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's a part of your kingdom culture. We'll cast out demons. That's a part of your kingdom culture. We'll preach the word. That's a part of the kingdom culture. Father, make it more real to us. Make it more real than anything else that's in our lives, any tangible thing in our lives. So, Father, when we walk out this door here, we walk out with that mindset that it's all about you and it's all about what you would have us to do as we immerse ourselves into this kingdom.